Mobile workforces, cloud applications, and digitalization are changing every aspect of the modern enterprise. And with radical transformation come new business risks. Welcome to Hybrid Identity Protection, the premier podcast for cybersecurity pros charged with defending hybrid identity environments. Presented by Semperis, the pioneer of identity-driven cyber resilience for the hybrid enterprise. And now, here's your host, 15-time Microsoft MVP and Active Directory security expert, Sean Duby.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the HIP Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Duby. When Active Directory Federation Services, ADFS, first came out with Windows Server 2003, it was an odd duck. As one of the first enterprise services that translated traditional Active Directory authentication to claims, a completely new concept at the time, it was a new service largely without a use because applications that used claims-based authentication were few and far between. Since that time, of course, everything has changed. Token-based standards such as SAML and OAuth2 are now everywhere, and as a result, many organizations deployed ADFS in their on-premises infrastructure so their users could get single sign-on to these applications with their corporate credentials. But threat actors, such as the nation-state SolarWinds attack, began compromising ADFS to forge bogus SAML tokens that allowed them to gain access to SaaS applications such as Office 365. This vulnerability, if you compromise Active Directory, you can compromise Active Directory Federation Services, has driven organizations to find alternatives to ADFS. To explore these alternatives, my guest today is 16 times MVP Sandra Berkauer, a consultant and speaker by day and fervent blogger, podcaster, and book author by night. Welcome, Sandra.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
Good. We are here at Ignite. Ran into each other on the freezing cold expo floor at the McCormick Convention Center here in Chicago, and we're actually looking out on a very snowy Chicago day. But let's start by recapping what ADFS does and why it's become such an important part of an organization's identity infrastructure.
Yeah. So I guess we both share a disdain, but I guess even a hatred towards Active Directory trusts. And I just think they suck. And when ADFS came around, many people thought that it was the best thing since sliced bread, because now we wouldn't have to do NTLM. We wouldn't have to have VPNs and all that. It was just HTTP and HTTPS. HTTP for certificate revocation, and HTTPS for the communication between the ADFS servers and, of course, the web app that would be integrated with ADFS on the receiving party, the relying party side. Yeah. But little did we know that when Microsoft 365, they renamed it, by the way, Office 365 is now Microsoft 365.
Oh, yeah. I'm still calling Entra or Entra, if you want to be highfalutin about it. I'm still calling that Azure Active Directory. So.
All right. But not Windows Azure Active Directory, though.
Oh, don't get me started.
So when we started with BPaaS, ADFS was the only way to avoid cloud-only accounts.
And BPaaS was the predecessor
to Office 365. Yeah, Business Processes Online Services.
Yeah.
Yeah, because before they renamed it three names ago, yeah. And so many organizations deployed ADFS back then, and many organizations had many reasons, even when password hashing came around, even when password authentication came around, to authenticate towards Microsoft 365 and use, well, the Microsoft 365 identity platform, right? Mm-hmm. As the relying party trust is called an ADFS. Mm-hmm. You had alternative ways to authenticate towards that, and Azure Active Directory now, Entra ID underneath it. But many organizations still had some requirements that required ADFS. So it has been around for quite a while. Many organizations have built up knowledge on ADFS that may or may not be transferable to something else in the future. And some organizations still cannot get off of ADFS, actually. There's still about three use cases where you cannot go full Entra and leave ADFS behind. And leaving ADFS behind is probably the best thing you can do these days to go zero trust.
Well, an ADFS is, or was at least, everywhere.
Yes.
Because all you had to do was just, it came with Windows Server as a feature. And you could just turn it on very, very easily, even if you didn't know what you were doing. Because let's face it, most people, most enterprise support IT pros that worked with Active Directory, just because it said Active Directory in front of it, doesn't mean it had anything to do with Active Directory at all. It's a completely different world.
Yes.
Of token authentication.
Yes, and if you look at how any organization that I have worked with used ADFS, none of them have token encryption certificates or token decryption certificates with an HSM behind it.
No.
Because that's too much hassle. And that's how in the SolarWinds breach, they would just get the certificates out from ADFS and build their own ADFS. And then all you have to do is poison DNS to get traffic to your ADFS. Yeah.
Right. And put whatever you want in the claims that you're, in the tokens that you're forging.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that'll be accepted by, at that time, Azure Active Directory, because it was the relying party.
Yeah, but that's still the case. We now see the staggered rollout of multi-factor authentication required to gain access to the Entra portal, the Intune portal, and the Azure portal. But there's a really neat third-party MFA provider that you can enable in your tenant. The author is Dirk-Jan Mollema, a fellow Dutchman.
I recognize him.
Yeah. You recognize the name?
Dirk-Jan, yeah. You said it so quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. So he created an MFA provider that does not require MFA. But it does tick the box that you did MFA. Because that's how Dirk-Jan thinks.
Right.
And I love that.
Right. Right. And as I said, so it is or was everywhere because it came with everything. So
yeah.
So we have organizations that find themselves in the situation where, okay, I've got it. I recognize that I'm vulnerable here. Mm-hmm. I want to decrease my attack surface.
Or at least incoming firewall rules.
Incoming firewall rules.
Yeah.
What sort of steps, if you were in the shoes of somebody who was faced with this situation, what sort of steps would you take to start moving away from ADFS?
All right. So here's an unpopular opinion. But I would definitely embrace the cloud functionality that Microsoft offers as part of the Entra ID Premium license to just get a grip on what ADFS is and does in my organization. So within that premium license, there is still Entra Connect Health for ADFS. And if you install that on your ADFS servers and your web app proxies, because if you use ADFS with Microsoft 365, you need to have those web app proxies. That's the requirement for Microsoft. Not everybody does, though. But if you install it there, it will do synthetic transactions every 30 minutes. But it will also upload the logs for your ADFS authentications. It will then, in the Entra Connect Health dashboard, tell you which apps are used, how many successful logons and unsuccessful logons there were in a given time period. So you can really see what apps are used within your ADFS infrastructure.
So let's take just a slight detour, and for folks that aren't familiar with it, let's talk about these health agents.
All right.
So we have them for ADFS, we have them for Active Directory.
Yeah, ADDS.
And
yes.
What else?
ADCS.
ADCS as well.
Yes.
Certificate services.
Yes.
And so this service in Entra ID will give you a dashboard to show you the health of these critical infrastructure services.
That is one, yes. So it will give you health. So if the synthetic transaction doesn't work, it will give you an alert for that. It will show you insights on usage, which is cool. Because
yes.
that makes you plan your project beforehand. And this is the real kicker, it will tell you in a column for each application if it's ready to be migrated to Entra.
Oh. So they've expanded the instrumentation to assist in migration.
Assist?
Well, okay.
If it's a well-known app,
Assist is overstating the case.
Microsoft will just do it for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they will set up everything you need in Entra. And if it's not an app that they know, they will tell you, now go and change the IDP URL and any certificates you need for that Reliant Party Trust. But if it's a well-known application, it's just another click on a button. Go do it.
So they've made a very easy migration path, at least for the...
For organizations with premium licenses, yes.
And using well-known applications.
Yes. Applications other than well-known applications have been a real pain in the behind for ADFS admins anyway, because any Reliant Party Trust that you create in ADFS, that you manually create, every time you roll your certificates, you have to talk to the vendor, get their site updated as well, and it's... So yeah, And with Entra, you don't really want that anymore.
Right, because if you don't do that, things break, and when you don't need them to break, and when you don't expect them to break. So
yeah, and it's funny because I was in the camp for only rolling the certification, only rolling the token encryption and token decryption certificates every 3 years. The default is 1 year, and I've shifted to the camp because everything now, if you do claims-based authentication as an app, everything now supports the Federation metadata exchange to get that updated. At least most of them do.
Makes it much easier.
Yeah. And now I'm in the camp that says, well, those certificates, roll them every 30 days.
If it's easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Please roll your certificates often. Yeah.
That's very interesting. So let's talk about the authentication part of it. As you said, to the Microsoft, what's the Microsoft 365 platform? So the big use case for ADFS is single sign-on to the Microsoft Cloud.
Yeah, so what you typically do is you would move any Reliant Party Trusts that you have, you would move them off ADFS and move them to Entra ID. So that makes sure that no matter how you authenticate to Entra ID, the communication between Entra ID and the app is always Federation. It doesn't have to be Federation anymore if you don't want it to, between Entra ID and your Active Directory.
Right.
You can just switch that over to managed authentication. But many organizations are really holding that off and saying, yeah, we don't know what would happen.
So let's talk about those other alternatives, the managed authentication.
Yes.
And what those two mm-hmm. right, alternatives are, pros and cons.
Really just one, but yeah.
So
there are password hashing, and what Microsoft does is they take the password, and you know this, they MD4 hash it, or SHA-1 these days, they MD4 hash it, that's the Active Directory hash, the anti-hash, and then they pull it through 1,000 times SHA-256.
Yeah.
Yes, and that is the org ID hash, and that's actually the thing that is stored in Entra ID. So anytime you go and authenticate with password hash sync, it's not the password that was hashed, it was the hash of the hash of the password that was synced.
Right.
So you come to Entra ID and you enter your password, Entra ID hashes all that stuff, does the 2x hashing, and then compares those two values. So if you ever wondered why Entra ID uses close to 400,000 CPUs worldwide, there's your answer.
That's certainly one aspect of it.
Yeah.
A side benefit, side story, and I apologize to any listeners that have heard this one before, is I actually helped write the first password hash sync doc for Microsoft because I wrote a blog post for Semperis on password hash sync when it first came out. And I got an email or a phone call from Alex Simons one day, and he said, I've been referring customers to your blog post. Would you be interested in participating in helping us write the doc for the original one? And of course,
yes.
It's gone through many iterations. Yeah, well, my answer clearly was yes. But it's gone through many iterations since then.
Yeah, and you also know that 1,000 times SHA-256, that 1,000 value is something that Microsoft stores. And if they really need you, because encryption is just, it's a cat and mouse game, basically. They could up that to 2,000, 4,000, 12,000 if they needed in the future. Yeah, which was very forward thinking.
It is. And this is also the, once they have your password hashed hash, that's also what they use in identity protection.
Yes.
To look for...
Leaked credentials.
Leaked credentials. And if you may ask, well, if your password is so securely hashed, how do they know if it's if the leaked credential password is the same as what's been hashed? And the answer is that Microsoft simply runs the clear text password that they find in the dark web through the same hashing process.
Yeah.
And if the values come out and they're equal, it's been compromised.
Yeah, well, my experience with leaked passwords is that identity protection picks up on abuse of the leaked password, oftentimes before they actually go through the hashing, because usually it's big lists of passwords that were leaked, and that they usually just see the abuse of the password before they actually go through the leaked password hashing and comparison.
Right.
Yeah, but having both of them occurring at the same time, so the detection of the abuse, but also the detection of the leakage, that's really strong, yeah.
So say a little bit about, so this password hashing, that's the process. And I know, because I was one of those people, that oftentimes security policies will resist implementing password hash sync.
Yeah.
What's been your experience with that?
With password expiration?
No, the implementing password hash sync instead of using a federation services to do single sign-on.
Oh, in the past 2 years, it has never been an issue anymore.
So people are changing their way of thinking about it.
Yeah, we have ADFS, and they see benefits of PHS behind it because of identity protection, because of resilience even for when ADFS becomes unavailable. And it has not been an issue last 2 years. There's been many write-ups, many smart people telling other people how to do it. Mark Morawiecki was one of those, obviously, who advocated for that.
Mark Morrow, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah. I remember that quite vociferously. Right. So, yeah. So the tide has turned in terms of security people saying, okay, I get that this is all right.
But pass-through authentication, though, right? Not so much.
Right. So let's talk about pass-through authentication.
Really? Do we need to?
We need to explain what it is, yes.
All right. So it's basically the same thing that Okta does with their agents, where they relay authentications towards an agent on-prem next to your domain controllers and then authenticate you that way. Except the way Microsoft implemented it with the Azure Service Bus is quite genius. If you don't have too much PTA agents, that is.
Okay.
So what they do is whenever you authenticate with a tenant that is configured for password authentication, then they will send an authentication package on the Azure Service Bus. Mm-hmm. And it will be encrypted with the secret for the PTA agent. So if you have three PTA agents, which is the minimum recommendation, and also the maximum recommendation, they will give you three authentication packages on that Azure Service Bus. And then the PTA agents, they look at that service bus for authentication packages, and then when they see them, they'll only be able to decrypt their own package. Then they'll play that towards a domain controller, which is just plain Kerberos. And then if they get an authentication package, they will put it back onto the Azure Service Bus, and HRD will pick it up and see, oh, you're authenticated, and this is your token. Now let's do our authentication and give you your claim token.
Right.
So no incoming firewall rules. No LDAP, no
right.
All that stuff. Yeah.
Right. It's all outbound.
It's all outbound. Yeah. Yep.
But why, I hear the but in your voice about why not implement pass-through authentication?
So pass-through authentication, in my opinion, is not very modern. So there are use cases to do pass-through authentication instead of password hash sync. For instance, if your SIEM solution your security incident and event monitoring solution doesn't support Entra. You could also say that you shouldn't do Entra in that use case, but pass-through authentication will still result in sign-in activity for every sign-in on your domain controllers. But password has sync, obviously, wouldn't.
Does not. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's another, a couple of other things where PDA really shines. But even if you do pass-through authentication, you still want password hash sync behind it for leaked credentials.
Right.
So you still have two methods. That's complexity. That's, you don't want that.
Right.
Most organizations don't want that.
So keep it simple.
Always.
Right. Right. Okay. So let's say you have figured out through the help of the, and by the way, one of those takeaways, if you do, are not using Entra ID health agents, everybody should be using that. So you probably are. I'm sure you're a very smart crowd out there, but just in case, double check, make sure that you're using these because they're free, they're easy to use. And by the way, also use Entra ID password protection as an aside. I always throw that in there because people don't know about it and it's very important. But that's a topic for another time, which I may have already covered. So how do you go about, so what is the decommissioning process here? This is the migrate the apps off.
Yeah, so before you decommission, so actually turn it off, which is one of my favorite quotes for ADFS decommissioning. Have you tried turning it off and keeping it off?
Right.
Right.
Right. The scream test.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So what you see is that you move all the other running party trusts off of ADFS, then you disable them, and because that's your rollback scenario, until you only have that pesky Microsoft 365 identity platform running party trust. And that RPT is everything towards Entra ID. And you can't really say, you know what, I want it for Exchange Online and not for SharePoint Online. You can't do that. But what you can do, and this is what we've helped organizations with a lot, is you can use the stage rollout feature. And in the stage rollout feature, you can define a group and members of that group. And the first time you use that group, you can only add up to 200 members. And then you add all the 60,000 of them. But members of that group will instruct Entra to not go the federated route, but use either PHS or PTA as the authentication method. So that means that now I can do all the tests that I want with human identities, non-human identities, things like that. Everything that uses federation, which some organizations really don't know up front. And that makes sure that you can test it with a pretty fast rollback, because the only thing you have to do for rollback is get someone out of that group. And in Active Directory, of course, if you change group membership, you have to log off, log on. And the same thing is true with Entra ID. If you're a member of the group, you get the other sign-in method. So how do you change your sign-in method? Well, you sign out, and then you sign in again.
Right.
And because you don't or no longer have that group membership,
you go through ADFS.
You go through ADFS again, yes. So that's an interesting route. And I was very pleased a couple of weeks ago where Microsoft now has new branding solutions in Entra where you can actually just opt for the same layout with the right column, the right and right column in ADFS. So one of the pieces of communication that we did during our ADFS decommissioning projects was that we needed to tell people, you know, what your sign-in experience is going to change.
That's right.
And whether you change the sign-in on ADFS to the centered interface, which was pretty easy on 2016, 2019, and 2022, or you used it in Entra where you would have to do all kinds of stuff, it's now like, I changed that one to that one, save, done. All I have to do is use the same pictures, the same sign-in text, the same disclaimer. That's it.
And then you simply turn on password hash sync for everybody.
And then you turn on password hash sync for everybody? Or you can use the scoped things for password hash sync?
Keep adding people in.
Yep. And then in EntroID, after the initial password hash sync, then you add members to the stage rollout group. And yep, you just empty the bucket.
Yeah. And simplify your infrastructure with multiple servers and typically, you know, as we see the body of AD skill sets of skilled AD professionals decreasing, even at its height, ADFS was a specialized
absolutely
knowledge.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So that's good.
And then you can and I always turn off ADFS for a week to see if anything breaks. And the fun part is that every admin in that process will look at the Entra Connect health and think, why do I still see 50 authentications roughly per day? Those are the synthetic logons.
Oh.
For Entra Connect health, of course.
Right.
So I still can't decommission it. Yes, you can. It's the noise floor. Exactly.
Okay.
So it's fun stuff like that that you find out, because then you go and investigate. So what is authenticating? And of course, in the Entra Connect health dashboard, it doesn't really show you that. So you need to go to the logs on all your ADFS servers, because they could hit any one of them.
And you find it's some guy named Health keeps logging on to everything.
Yeah.
I got it. Well, thank you, Sandra. This has been very instructive. And for those of you that are still running ADFS, or those that have run it in the past, this is a good trip down memory lane, hopefully, for those of you that are still working with it.
And regarding your comment on you can get rid of so many servers, one of the things that I really recommend organizations as they move off of ADFS into password hash sync is to really look at the staging mode server and the process to support the staging mode Entra Connect server, because your reliance on Entra Connect really grows.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and what you're talking about is the synchronization engine between on-prem and in the cloud.
Yeah.
And the fact that you don't really have high availability for it, but you do have a staging server. And if you implement the staging server and you help keep it up to date, if something should go wrong with your primary one, it's a simple matter to bring up the other one.
Yes, and you don't have to do a full sync.
Right.
And you and me both know that in large organizations, a full sync could take up to 72 hours.
It's a long time. It can be a long time.
It can be a real long time, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing you would have already done, so you don't have to do that anymore. You just switch them up, and then you're good to go.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the show here. The snow is supposed to stop soon. We're all sort of warm and cozy in here. It's kind of nice looking out there on that weather, isn't it?
It is. It is. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the Hybrid Identity Protection Podcast with Sean Doobie. Be sure to subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. Visit hipconf.com, that's HIPCONF.com, to learn about upcoming events, view expert presentations, and take part in the conversation.